Those are the ones that I have. There's probably others who are traveling. I just didn't get the information. It's good to have the Dorans back. They were gone this weekend. I want to say thanks to Daniel Weatherford and Jonathan Borak for getting the parking lot sealed and striped. It looks very good. That'll help keep our parking lot in good shape. We're going to be praying together here, and then we'll be dismissed to our Bible classes. If you'll pray with me, please. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for the good day that you've given us. We recognize that every day you provide us with manifold blessings, that you take care of us, that you care for us in physical and spiritual ways. And we're grateful, Father, for the blessing of fellowship with other saints, with other Christians. We pray, Father, that you would bless us this evening as we go to our classes, that the things that we study and discuss will be helpful to us as we day after day strive to serve you more perfectly. Father, we're mindful of those who need your special care, Kevin and Robert, and we pray, Father, for Stephen Noe also as he recovers from his bypass surgery. We pray, Father, that there may be others who are recovering from sicknesses, Jessica Morrow, and we pray, Father, that you would bless each of them according to their needs. Please be with those who are traveling, that you might bring them back safely to our number. We pray, Father, that you would bless each of us with the forgiveness of our sins as we turn from those things that we understand to be wrong. Help us to have tender hearts, especially now as we go into our classes. We ask these blessings and we offer our thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to go to the next one. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Good to see everybody. Feels like there's lots of people here and very few people here. We got to fill in this area. That's where Josh used to be, but he's over there now. Well, tonight we are in 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be covering the first 14 verses. And as is my habit, we'll read the text first, and then we'll get into the discussion. So, 1 John chapter 2, and I'm reading from the LSB. My little children, I am writing these things to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing to you a new commandment. I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness blinded him. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have known him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I am writing to you, children, because you have known the Father. I am writing to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Okay. What do you see connecting the first verses in chapter 2 to the previous chapter? There's a few connections there. What are some of the connections? Because this isn't just like a fresh topic. This is a continuation of what we were talking about last week, or I guess Sunday. Zach?
Sin, he says, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And it just to confess our sins, he just had this whole several verses about sin.
Excellent. Anybody have another comment? Another thought? Tyler?
I have the same idea repeated about walking in darkness, abiding in darkness versus abiding and walking in light.
Excellent. Yeah, we have that continued theme of darkness and light in the walk. What else?
Not really a theme, but just phrasing. It's once again telling people that if they're claiming something,
yeah, excellent. Yeah, that's one of the things that I had in mind. Anybody else? Well, Ethan.
I think it's an answer to the first logical question that people have reading that. It's like, they have that fear of, oh no, is this a sin out of grace, immediately, that I can never have security in my salvation because I might have sinned and not realized it now I'm out of grace. But he's explaining here, he's like, okay, these are two different things. So he's making a habit of sin and walking in darkness, and that a Christian can be in the light, yes, you may stumble and have sin and that with the Father.
Excellent. I'm going to use that to springboard into the first question. We ended the last class talking about that, how we have comfort in Jesus, that we have an assurance of grace, that he is faithful. I asked the first question is, how does Jesus' role as our advocate provide comfort to believers who struggle with sin, and how does that contrast with Satan's role as accuser? What were your thoughts? Hey, Vicky?
I love what Hebrews says, 4:15 and also in chapter 2, in the chapter, that he is a merciful high priest, that he understands. And it's neat that God became flesh so he could know very intimately how we struggle, and he can understand our condition.
Yeah, that's, well, we're going to talk a lot about knowing throughout John, 1 John. And Jesus, and a lot of times when we talk about knowing, it's through experience. It's through, we know God by doing what God does, right? Being who God is, or, as much as we can be. Jesus knows us by walking in our shoes, figuratively speaking. And so that understanding is one that Jesus shares with us, not just one that we share with the Father. It's a good comment. Other thoughts, Uncle Gary?
I just like his use of we, because he's talking very specifically to Christians. So instead of this idea of he forgave you once and now you're on your own to live perfectly, he's talking about we who sin have an advocate. And so he's he's still there for us, just like he was when he forgave the first.
Yeah. Josh?
And the other part of what's great about me is the Apostle John is still struggling with sin. You're just feeding to that problem. I think that gives us some confidence, maybe some courage to have faith in mercy for us, his advocacy for us as we try to remember.
Yeah, that's a good comment. A lot of times when we think of apostles struggling with sin, we think of Paul, born in the flesh, Romans 7. But yeah, John includes himself here as someone who needs an advocate. Yeah, good thought. Mike?
The term advocate means one call alongside to help. So there's this idea of Jesus wanting to help. In a sense, he's on our side.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at the book of Job, you really get to see Satan as the accuser. You know, Satan goes to God and says, "Well, he's only faithful because you put this hedge around him. Well, he'll curse you if, you know, his flesh suffers." And so he's accusing Job. And it's a comforting thought to me that when Satan goes to God to accuse me, there's someone next to God saying, "No, I understand, Alex. I understand the struggles, and he's trying." And that's comforting. That, you know, we're not just in the courtroom with an accuser, but we've got a defendant. We've got someone in our defense, someone who knows our situation, the temptations that we face, going back to Aunt Vicky's comment. Other thought? Ralph?
Okay, I guess into the next question, but advocate, because our propitiation, he's staying off the punishment that we deserve. He's having the impact to see that it goes your way. That's really based on his sacrifice that covers that. But he not only he's a successful advocate, maybe that's where I'm going with it. If he's going to be successful, the definition of an advocate is the definition of propitiation.
Yeah, good comment. Anybody else? Kevin?
Not for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, let's just go ahead and answer question two. John states that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. That's what Ralph was talking about. To go to Kevin's comment, not for ours only, but also for those of the world. And I ask, what does that mean? What's the definition of propitiation? It's a word we don't use very often. Good to define it. Zach?
It's like an appeasement of God, but not by man, but by God himself.
Yeah.
Being Jesus' sacrifice appeased God, dealt with the problem of sin, so that we can